Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, live coming to you live from the studio here in Orange County, deep behind the orange curtain. Yes, and it's Monday. Happy Monday. Hope we're doing well. So big news over the weekend. As I promised to you on Friday, that there would be a shakeup in France. I'm going to explain what it means to us here in the U.S. because it's a big deal. There were 11 candidates in France, the way it works is the two top vote getters. Presumably, nobody gets to 50%. So the two top vote getters advance into the general election. And that, by the way, that's really short. They only got 2 weeks to campaign. How interesting is that? 2 weeks. And so the two candidates then will face off 2 weeks from now. And one of them has to get over 50% of the vote. There you go. All right. Now, what does this mean? Well, the two candidates that advance to the round, to the next round, to the finals, if you will, is a gentleman named Emmanuel Macron. Or Macron, and then a gal by the name of Marine Le Pen. Now, Le Pen is a known, I'll start with her because she's a known quantity in France. Mostly, it's because of her father. Her father is one of the founders of this party, the Nationalist Party in France, and they are previously under her father, it was much more of a far-right group. Now, to Le Pen's credit, to the daughter's credit, she's actually the one who's been kicking out some of the most, you know, more extreme kind of radical members of the party and has been really looking to turn it into a mainstream party. But it has never been a mainstream party. She is the most Trump-like candidate. She wants to tamp down on NATO. She wants to pull France out of the EU. She wants to decentralize the government, lower the bureaucracy, cut the red tape, tamp down on illegal immigration, and crack down on radical Islamic terrorism. Big time. Now, Macron, on the other hand, he's kind of a baby. He's a very young guy. He's 39. Fortunately, he has an old wife. You know, his wife is 63. I'm just going to throw that out there. 63. And if you think this maybe is a little bit dirty, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but they met when he was a 15-year-old high school student and she was his teacher. But hey, it's France. So there we go. I'm getting curious looks here from, I swear to God, it's a fact. No fake news here. So at any rate, this guy, he's founded his own party. He's kind of a centrist, you know, middle of the road candidate. But hear this. He was actually a member of the Socialist Party, who is the party that is currently in control. François Hollande, the president of France, a total loser. And of all things, this Macron character was his economy minister. Now, I always love the concept, just in broad strokes, of a socialist being involved with the economy. Always bad news. Because when we talk about what's going on in Europe, right, the big picture is the economy. The economy. And people getting shot in the street by radical terrorists. I'm telling you that you've got to understand that, you know how frustrated we were in this last election? I mean, heck, Trump won. What crazy talk is that, right? Who would have seen that coming? Well, we did here, but whatever. But what did Americans want? We wanted a secure border. We wanted an economy that was brought back to life. We wanted to get a little bit tough on trade, right? We wanted to see more jobs domestically. We didn't care so much. We said, you know, enough about being a global citizen. We want to be a U.S. citizen. And those of us that said that were dismissed as nationalist fascists. It's interesting how the left loves to throw out that label. In Europe, it is much worse. You have to understand that the European Union is really it is the leftist globalist state on steroids. Imagine, you know how discontented we were here? Imagine now that we weren't just, you know, pissed at our government, you know, Washington, D.C., out with those bums. Imagine that we were part of 20-something other countries governed by a board of politicians that weren't even based in America. Imagine we were being governed out of, like, Quebec or something. Because that's what the EU is. The EU is based in Belgium. I mean, think how galling. Imagine you're French. You're like, gosh, Belgians over here are telling me what to do. And sure, every country sends its ministers there and whatnot. But it's a bunch of rich, fat. I always picture like rich, fat guys driving around in limos, smoking cigars, eating caviar. Ho, 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 ho. Oh, this wine is so good. Right? President Juncker of the EU. Remember him? He's the guy that's drunk every time he's on television. Joke is he spends something like $50,000 a year just on one kind of wine. This is when you are out of work. Do you know what the unemployment rate is in France? It's 10%. Wrap your head around that for a minute. 10%. And I suspect it's actually higher. That's the official rate. You go to Paris. Trust me. You go to Paris and you see the kind of melees around. I mean, this it's not like it is in the movies. You see youths around the street doing nothing. They're bored. There's zero opportunity. You've got that ridiculous 32-hour, 35-hour work week. You know, oh, that's how we're going to solve unemployment. See, this is what happens when you put socialists in charge. Oh, we need to make room for more people to work. We're going to just cut the work week. So that forces employers to hire more people to get the job done. Yeah, it doesn't really work that way. It really doesn't. And that's just bad politics domestically. Now imagine that you've got this overlord. You've got the European Union. It's the reality here is, by the way, of the 11 candidates, the major party candidates, they're Republicans and they're Democrats, their left party and their right party didn't even make it to the second round. The real story here is it's an echo of what's happened in this country. People are sick of it. They don't want any more business as usual. They don't want Hillary Clinton. Okay. They don't want the status quo. They don't want, they wanted something new. Now, I don't know how it's going to shake out if Le Pen or Macron are going to advance. But here's something that we ought to watch here. I'm really confused when Americans argue for the EU. It's fascinating to me because I think it's in our national interest to not have a European Union. I'll give you one example. Microsoft. You work for Microsoft, you know, you probably use a PC. Missy, you use a PC. We make fun of you for it because we are Apple people. But it's okay. We understand. You love your PC. So at any rate, Microsoft, do you think Microsoft wants the EU or does not want the EU? The answer I would say in short is Microsoft, for example, doesn't want the EU because before the European Union, they were dealing with 27 different separate countries. Now the EU bans all those countries together into a common market, which is good for trade, but bad because what do those snobby Europeans always try to do to American companies? They always try to punish them. Oh, here's a fine for this. Oh, here's a fine for that. Oh, here, we're going to show you how tough we are. Remember, you read it all the time. Their figures, you and I don't even understand those figures, right? $500 million, $1 billion, whatever it is. These huge fines levied against American companies. By the way, that never happens against European companies. They're always trying to punish American companies. I'm telling you, it's one example of where us dealing with 27 separate countries is better. It just is. Now, as tourists, Americans love the fact that there's those open borders and you can fly into one country. But that's a different agreement. It's not going to get into it. That there are things that are parts of the European Union that are good that may stay. But I'm telling you, the idea of one giant European superstate, one, is not good for us. It does not help for us to have one giant European bloc out there. And you know who it is also not good for? You know who it's not going to work for? Is Europeans. See, we don't get... We, as Americans, we're unique. We really are a melting pot. We really have... Look, there's people in Louisiana, there's people in Texas, people in California, and of course, people in Santa Monica, they're on their own planet. But what I'm getting at is in Europe, think about it. You want Germans and Frenchmen to be in the same country, to be governed by the same rules. Better yet, did you see Greece? All that nightmare in Greece. It's a completely different world. These are different cultures. This isn't like Maryland and Colorado. These are different planets. And this is typical of liberals, because, by the way, the EU is a brainchild of the globalist left. And the globalist left, in their utopian thinking, imagine this world that's going to be so great. We're all going to get together. We're all going to be in this giant melting pot. And by the way, let's import a bunch of immigrants from predominantly Muslim countries who have very radical ways of living from us. And who have this, maybe some of them are a little bit extreme in what they believe. And oh yeah, we're going to bring them all in and we're going to sing Kumbaya. You know this, this sounds familiar. We've tried to do that here too, but America is a lot more resilient to it than Europe. Because in Europe, you've got distinct cultures, distinct values, distinct languages. I mean, you get in your car, you drive 2 hours and you could hit three different languages. It's compact, it's small in terms of landmass, but it is very diverse. And this is what you got when you look at this, when you see this happening. You know, the left is, by the way, in death throes. They are, the fact that Marine Le Pen, who they are dismissing, calling her all but a Nazi, the fact that Marine Le Pen has advanced into the second round is going head to head with the centrist candidate, which really is, you know, media code for you know, leftists. But anyway, the centrist candidate, this is epic, whether she wins or not. But don't worry, the media already has an explanation for it. See, they don't get it. They don't understand that. How could people be unhappy in this utopia that we've created? How could people not like this beautiful society that we've built? Does this sound familiar? We hear it here all the time. Ungrateful voters, how could they vote for Trump? Well, anyway, the press already has an explanation for it. Want to hear what it is? It's Russia. And that's right. Russia is interfering with the French election. It's the whole narrative all over again, which is why this is so interesting. Because the left, you can watch them do the same thing. They do it here. They did it with Trump. They did it with Brexit. Remember that? Oh, it was Russia interfering. They want to break down the European Union. They want to weaken Europe so they can be strong. Okay, I mean, conceptually it makes sense. No evidence of it whatsoever. And there's no new thought here. It's fascinating. By the way, Emmanuel Macron, the French candidate, he is considered, they call him the French JFK. And also have called him the French Barack Obama. And he wants to do everything in Europe. He wants to strengthen the EU. He's like doubling down on something that is failing. And that's what Hillary did in the election. And it failed. People, it's simple. We, around the world, humans, were actually very similar. We're similar in that, what do we want? We want jobs, we want an economy that works for us, and we want to be safe. The problem in Europe, and the problem, frankly, here too, is that long enough, our politicians haven't been preoccupied with, you know, regular people having jobs. And they've been pushing this multicultural nonsense BS, you know, fantasy land on us, where they're stuffing a bunch of people here that just want to do us harm. And if you dare say that, if you dare say that, you are a racist, a bigot, a Nazi, and gosh knows what else. All right. Do you know that Obama called Macron and it got recorded and put up on social media? I'm going to play that when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski here. We're back talking about the French election, which was an absolute bloodbath for the status quo. Another country exhibiting signs of radicalism. And by radicalism, I, of course, mean common sense. I will explain to you what I mean. So we have Europe that kind of like we are, right? We're stagnated with liberal bureaucracy, an ever-expanding bloated government, welfare state up the wazoo, and people have had enough. Plus, the one thing they expect from their government, at the very least, if they don't even have a job, I mean, at least for Pete's sake, let me go out to a cafe with having some nut job terrorists blow me to smithereens. But don't worry. The one candidate, Marine Le Pen, who is arguing that maybe we have a little problem here with these radical Islamists, maybe, perhaps, she's the extremist. She's the nutter. And so that is why President Obama, and it sounds like maybe he was on a boat somewhere. I don't know whose yacht it was this week. It's tough to keep track. But at any rate, Obama calls Macron, the candidate who ended up coming in first, and is one of two candidates with Marine Le Pen who's going into the final round. On Thursday, he calls his friend Macron to give him a boost. Now, listen to this, because Macron recorded the phone call and then immediately put it up on his social media page, which is not what Obama intended. He never intended this phone call to be public, which is why he's now backtracking on it big time. No. This is not an endorsement. I'm not wading into the French election. Not me. But here's the audio of the call. And doesn't Macron just sound, well, he's 39. He's basically a millennial. I mean, listen to what a dork this guy sounds like. Play the tape.
About President Barack Obama for you. Hold on 1 second.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. President. How are you?
Sir Emmanuel?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, I'm doing very well. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very well.
The main message I have is to wish you all the best in the coming days. And make sure that, as you said, you work hard all the way through. Because you never know, it might be that last day of campaigning.
Yeah, I do agree.
Makes all the difference.
I will do my best, believe me, so I will fight in the last minute, and we will keep it in touch, and our teams will liaise in order to organize a new contact and see how to work together if I'm going to the runoff. Thank you very much. I do appreciate you took the time.
Good luck.
Okay, so there you have it. That's the guy who wants to be president of France. Now, it is interesting because every single newspaper right now is totally writing off Le Pen. And I ascribe this to wishful thinking. Because well, of course, I mean, this is I mean, everybody had Hillary ahead, right? I mean, what were Hillary's chances a week before the election? You know, 100,000 to one. I mean, one that she'd, you know, she was going to win, right? Everybody had her up by 10% in every minute. Anyway, so here, and here you've got this guy who's a socialist in centrist clothing who wants more of the same. And I'm telling you right now, 2017 is not the year of more of the same. It's not. Not here, not in France. It's interesting, isn't it, that this thing that happened here is not isolated? It's kind of a curious deal. Because, you know, our friends across, I mean, this is what Brexit was about. Brexit came before the Trump revolution, but it was part of it. People do not want to be governed by a nameless, faceless bureaucracy. People want to have self-determination. People want freedom. And also, people don't want to get shot in the face. There's that. I'm telling you, I don't know how this is going to turn out. They're going to have a debate face to face. And I think when they have that debate, I'll know more. I get a better feeling for it. All right. You know who helps you get a better feeling on things? The one and only John Wolfe with KBC News next.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Hi, Ann. Sam Rajofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And we are live from the undisclosed location, aka the studio deep behind the orange curtain. And looky here, we're talking about France. They just had a first round of their presidential election. Big news out of it. Both main parties are out. And the last two people standing are some new young guy who's a kind of a centrist socialist figure. And then Marine Le Pen, who is the nationalist candidate. Who is promising some big shakeups, both in the areas of France's participation in the EU and also relating to security and issues like immigration. Now, the left, here's, I think, one of the best and most interesting parts of this whole story. The left, the media, already explaining why Marine Le Pen is doing so well. And do you know what that is? I told you before, it's all because of Putin. Now, stop me if this sounds familiar. Here's Brian Todd, a CNN correspondent, talking to Wolf Blitzer on what CNN's position in this whole thing is vis-a-vis Putin and the French election. Have a listen.
Well, tonight we've got new information that Vladimir Putin's hackers may well be trying to breach the campaign of France's centrist presidential candidate, Emmanuel Macron. We've been in touch with a cybersecurity firm who says the hackers with the same fingerprints as those who hacked into the Democratic Party last year have targeted Macron's campaign. Analysts say with less than 2 weeks left until France's final vote, Putin is likely trying to tilt the election in favor of far-right French candidate Marine Le Pen.
Yes, likely, may be doing it, likely. You see these words they're putting in there? You have to listen so carefully to these clowns. You almost will miss it. And so the narrative begins, right? They're already talking about how it's Putin's hackers. By the way, one of these hackers has a name. Do you remember Fancy Bear? This is one of the guys that supposedly helped Trump. And here's what Brian Todd says about that.
The cybersecurity firm Trend Micro tells CNN four domains were created with names very similar to the Macron campaigns, presumably to try to trick campaign staff into entering their credentials. Trend Micro says the effort by a hacking group called Pawnstorm had the same fingerprints as the hackers nicknamed Fancy Bear, who targeted the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign. Hackers who U.S. officials linked to Russian intelligence.
Well, I want to meet this Fancy Bear. Because by the way, you love the clicking in the background. Just really show us what it's like, you know, as they're hacking into these. Look, it's a phishing operation. They, I am so perplexed by this. No, I'm not perplexed by it. I know exactly what this is all about. You need a fable to explain why your world is coming crashing down on you. If you are a leftist, if you are a globalist, if your entire fantasy world that you've created where we're all just kumbaya singing and we've got these huge taxes and a welfare state and all of us are just fat and happy and letting you do whatever you want with us and changing our world in any way that you see fit, and suddenly there's a shift. There are changes in the air. There's a refusal to go along with this. You got to find a boogeyman. It's Putin. That wily Putin. I mean, he's at it again. Hot off, fresh off tilting the whole U.S. election, you know, because Hillary wouldn't have blown it on her own. Fresh off that, he's now busy in France. God, these people... For really a not a very religious group, I think this is a religion. This is believing in something that is totally and wholly intangible. These people are nuts. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
You know, I got to tell you, the interesting thing about the French election, too, is that Marine Le Pen would be the first female president of France. But it's interesting how suddenly the left is quiet about this issue. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, when Hillary was, you know, on the ticket. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that Hillary's on the ticket and it was all about her being the first female president and everybody, you know, from I don't know, everybody was having a cow over it. Are you saying some of the other French presidents are a little bit femmy? Well, or maybe they're transmasculine. I think that's probably the term, appropriate term. I want to also tell you one thing about Emmanuel Macron, who is the candidate, the centrist, I would say center-left candidate, who right now most of the establishment is coalescing behind. I've heard his name mispronounced a few times. So I want to tell you, it is not Macaroon. It can be confusing, but I will tell you how to remember that it's not macaroon. See, macaroon has a filling to it. And candidate Macron is so empty inside that it's easy to make the mistake, but there's absolutely nothing there. But the way they're talking, yeah, you know what I actually thought? He's been described as the French Obama. And I played the, if you missed the segment where I played the fawning phone call between him and President Obama, because Obama called him on Thursday just to kind of congratulate him and give him an attaboy. Stay strong. Yeah, it's interesting. The entire establishment wants him. They want him. This is how it connects with what we're doing here. You know this America First, the America First slogan, right? Make America great again. If you're in Santa Monica, I mean that is almost it's almost a Nazi chant, isn't it? That's what people treat it as. Because patriotism, to the media, to the left, patriotism is nationalism. And nationalism is fascism, you know, and fascism basically, I mean, you're a Nazi. You're building death camps. It's a logical leap. It doesn't make sense to me. You can love your country. You can want a border. You can insist that those people over there that want to harm us should stay over there. But no. Those are nationalist fascists and Nazis, people that want that. And I think we're a little sick and tired of being told that, aren't we? So this is an election to watch. It'll be in 2 weeks. We'll see how it all pans out. A lot of money in the race. And it's really now a confrontation between the status quo, globalists, elites, versus a bit of revolution. A bit of overthrowing the vast bureaucracy that has been ever growing, ever expanding, and encroaching on people's lives. I'm going to tell you right now, now that we talked about France, let me talk about something that is a lot cooler, and that's Sweet James. That's right. Sweet James, our favorite attorney here on the program. Look, if you get into a car accident, you slip and fall somewhere, you got a dog that bites you. Maybe it's a French dog. Yeah, if a nice French bulldog bites you, nips you on the ankle, you have a case, and don't try to deal with that French bulldog's insurance company. I promise you. Not going to want to do it. You don't go at it alone. Don't try to negotiate with anybody. Stop everything. Don't talk to anyone. Call Sweet James. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Sweet James Bergner is the attorney that will protect your rights, take care of you, make sure that you are treated fairly, will get you the settlement that you deserve. And he's also a really nice guy and easy to talk to. All right. And if you don't want to call him, you can go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right, back after this.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790-790-790-790.
KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here. So I wondered, I had to tune in today to Fox News because I was curious to see what would happen. What would happen tonight at 5 and 8 Eastern as Tucker Carlson officially took over the factor, right? Took over Bill O'Reilly's time slot. And I wondered, was he going to address anything? Was he going to talk about it? I was curious. Well, he did. You want to hear what he said? I have the clip.
Well, good evening. For those of you tuning in tonight expecting to see someone different in this anchor chair, I know the feeling well. I watched Bill O'Reilly at this hour for years, and I always marveled at how well prepared he was, how tough he was, and how crisply and directly he expressed his views. What O'Reilly did was not easy. He set a high bar, and I'm going to do my best to meet it. Thanks for sticking with us.
Classy. But I also want to point something else out. I watched a bit of the show. I then had a scooch to get over to the studio, so I missed the tail end of it. But I did see the Caitlyn Jenner interview, and he had the Dirty Jobs guy on. At any rate, this is big. These are big, big, big shoes to fill. It's going to be interesting to see if he can pull it off. I like Tucker Carlson, but it's not going to be an easy transition. Fox really lost a star. Regardless of any of the harassment nonsense and all that, putting that aside, O'Reilly had a unique talent. He really did. And I think you can almost hear that in Tucker's voice, that he's just kind of overwhelmed. He knows it. He knows he's got to measure up. Now, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, speaking of Fox News, Sean Hannity had an accuser come out of the woodwork, some broad named Debbie Schlussel. Now, what did I tell you about Hannity? I told you Hannity is an example of a guy who more or less is a good guy who's really liked at the network, who doesn't engage in the kind of shenanigans that Bill did. So I read the story and I go, I don't think this sounds right. Well, guess what? The accuser that went on the radio that said she went on a local radio program and said that he was, I wanted to invite her up to his hotel room and was then retaliated against her when she said no. She's totally changed her story. Now it's like, no, he invited me back to his hotel, but not his hotel room. And no, it wasn't. I'm a lawyer. This lady is apparently an attorney, and realized that what she was doing was getting her into some really deep trouble because she could not substantiate the claims. So she's you know, kind of weaseling a way out of it. And I'm pointing that out because I think I got good information and I've got a good read on it. I think what I said last week still holds. Now O'Reilly is back. He's got a podcast and he's talking about the allegations and he's promising that you haven't heard the end of it, which means, I don't know. Sounds like it might be a lawsuit. And when that happens, I will, of course, dissect it for you bit by bit because this stuff is interesting, really fascinates me. And I'll bring you an insight on it if and when that transpires. All right, we are done here. I will be back tomorrow, 7 p.m., same place, you know the spot. Tune in then. I will miss you in the meantime. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop top, he says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant thoughts into the reservation. Talk Radio 790 KABC.